Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so very blessed to be with you on today's show. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, as the world continues to spiral out of control with so many seemingly insurmountable problems, we continue to beg God to deliver us from them. But many times, what Almighty God actually has planned for us involves His delivering us in these problems. He wants to purify us and to make us saints. He wants us to trust Him, knowing that He has our back. St. Rose of Lima said, "Without the burden of afflictions, it is impossible to reach the height of grace. The gift of grace increases as the struggle increases." And for this, we should praise God in our afflictions, in the darkness, and in this culture of death. For we know that consolation, light, and life lie ahead of us if we but persevere. We're going to talk about some of the struggles we are facing locally in the building up of a culture of life and purity. There's lots going on, especially as we see the number of unborn children being killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood continue to rise every week. We're experiencing some increased persecution, plus the city government is getting ready to give thousands of taxpayer dollars to the Bloomington Planned Parenthood and All Options, a local organization that runs the Hoosier Abortion Fund. We'll talk about all this and more today, but first, let's get started by way of prayer. We'll use Psalm 139. Lord, you have probed me, you know me. You know when I sit and stand. You understand my thoughts from afar. You sift through my travels and my rest. With all my ways, you are familiar. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all. Behind and before you encircle me and rest your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, far too lofty for me to reach. Where can I go from your spirit? From your presence, where can I flee? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in Sheol, there you are. If I take the wings of dawn and dwell beyond the sea, even there your hand guides me, your right hand holds me fast. If I say, surely darkness shall hide me and night shall be my light. Darkness is not dark for you, and night shines as the day. Darkness and light are but one. You formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My very self you know. My bones are not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, fashioned in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me unformed. In your book all are written down. My days were shaped before one came to be. How precious to me are your designs, O God, how vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sands. When I complete them, still you are with me. And let's go now to this week's In the News. States, including Indiana, have filed a motion supporting the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's restrictions on access to the abortion pill. The restrictions are being challenged in court by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and other pro-abortion groups. Alabama, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, and Oklahoma all stated that they have a strong interest in protecting their citizens from the health and safety consequences that could result from unsupervised administration of mifepristone. Physicians have long stated that the abortion pill can have serious complications, including hemorrhaging, infection, and even death, problems which can be increased if a physician does not perform an in-person examination. With the recent coronavirus scare, abortion supporters have been pushing for the FDA to waive limitations on the abortion pill, which include that only a certified prescriber may dispense the drug after confirming gestational age and ruling out an ectopic pregnancy. In April, 155 five members of Congress asked the FDA to continue to robustly enforce abortion pill restrictions, saying that the involvement of a physician or other certified prescriber who knows the state of a woman's pregnancy and health is critical for patient safety. And Students for Life, under the guidance of Kristen Hawkins, has just announced that three Christian colleges have decided to stop promoting Planned Parenthood to their students after receiving information from Students for Life Action. Lubbock Christian University in Texas, Clark's Summit University in Pennsylvania, and Pepperdine University in California have all removed Planned Parenthood from their student resources page on their websites. Leaders from the schools thank the pro-life organization for providing them information on precisely how Planned Parenthood operates. Over 70 letters of concern had been sent out to Christian schools throughout the country from Students for Life Action, and according to their own research, 79% of all abortion businesses are located within 5 miles of colleges. The Princeton University professor of bioethics, who has boldly defended infanticide, has also recently thrown his support behind age-based discrimination against the elderly when it comes to right-to-life issues. Peter Singer, who does not believe in the intrinsic value of human life, but rather supports a quality of life ethic, recently penned an article entitled, "Is Age Discrimination Acceptable?" In the write-up, Singer favored the cost-benefit analysis promoted by the World Health Organization during the COVID-19 crisis, which basically means that the elderly and disabled receive less attention and help than the young and able-bodied. Singer justifies this utilitarian approach to life by saying that medical treatment does not save lives, but prolongs lives. Children in the womb, those newly born, and the elderly have not been the only targets of Singer's immoral viewpoints. Back in 1999, Singer wrote an article for Psychology Today bemoaning the fact that chimpanzees were used in the development of the hepatitis vaccine instead of people diagnosed as persistently unconscious. Finally, this past Thursday, an estimated 21 unborn children were killed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood from both chemical and surgical abortions. Three women from Kentucky, one from Tennessee, and others from various Hoosier counties came to 421 South College Avenue to end the lives of their unborn children. This week saw several Black and Hispanic women going in, along with some looks of great sadness and devastation on the women's faces as they came out. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand all day long to offer love, hope, and help. One woman did at least postpone her abortion until next week, so please keep her and her unborn baby in your prayers and sacrifices this week, that God's love and life will overshadow them. And that's your weekly In the News. So every year since 1993, the Bloomington City Council has awarded over $4.45 million to social services agencies in the area who help provide basic services and needs to city residents who are low income, elderly, disabled, or in some other way disadvantaged. This funding program is called the Jack Hopkins Social Services Funding, and it's named after a former city council member. Those organizations who wish to apply for a grant do so early in the year, and then applications are reviewed by a committee. The grant money is allocated to those agencies who meet all the criteria, and then the City Council either approves or disapproves the committee's recommendations. Well, 2020 funding requests have already been turned in, and committee members have made their suggestions to present to the Council on June 17th. Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky has asked the city for $11,134 in order to purchase upgraded colposcopy equipment for their Bloomington Abortion Center. Let me read to you what Planned Parenthood officials actually wrote in their application. They said, "A colposcopy is a type of cervical cancer test. It lets doctors and nurses get a close-up look at a patient's cervix, and it's used to find abnormal cells that could be cancerous. Both the cervical cancer incidence rate and the cervical cancer mortality rate are higher in Indiana than the national average. In some counties, the cervical cancer mortality rate is double the national average. This problem is caused by increasingly high rates of sexually transmitted infections, as well as a lack of access to advanced diagnostic testing. With a grant from the Jack Hopkins Social Services Fund, Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky will purchase the upgraded equipment needed to maintain access to high-quality care at our Bloomington Health Center and will ensure affordable access to care for all women and girls, no matter their income or insurance status. By increasing access to advanced diagnostic testing in South Central Indiana, more people in Bloomington and throughout Monroe County will be able to prevent, detect, and/or treat cervical cancer. So on the surface, this seems like a noble request, right? Money for cancer screening. They want to save women's lives. But this is where we need to say, okay, hold on there. Because what Planned Parenthood is doing is actually akin to Philip Morris, the largest U.S. tobacco company, asking for money so that they can purchase X-ray machines to help detect lung cancer in their patrons in order to save lives. I'll borrow the words of St. Paul to the Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, you foolish people, who has bewitched you? Because the very dangerous lifestyles that Planned Parenthood pushes is pretty much the singular cause of cervical cancer. So let's go through the science and the research on this. First of all, the cervix is the narrow lower part of a woman's uterus, and cervical cancer occurs on that portion of the womb. In nearly all cases of cervical cancer, the human papillomavirus, or HPV as it's called for short, is the cause. HPV is sexually transmitted, and estimates show that about 14 million new cases occur every year. Now, most people who have HPV infections never experience any symptoms, and many cases do go away without any treatment. However, certain strains of the virus, of which there are over 100, can infect cells and cause problems like cancer. Strain numbers 16 and 18 are responsible for the most cases of cervical cancer, in fact, over 70%. So, since HPV is sexually transmitted, you are raising your risk significantly of contracting it if your first sexual encounter is at a young age and if you have more than one sexual partner. This is just common sense stuff. There is wisdom in the church's teachings on human sexuality for the protection of both body and soul. Planned Parenthood's philosophy and teachings, however, highly encourage early intimacy, multiple partners, and other very dangerous practices. And if you follow their guidelines, you are setting yourself up to contract HPV, as well as other sexually transmitted diseases, and thus cervical cancer. So hopefully you can see why I say that giving money to Planned Parenthood for cervical cancer screening is like giving money to a cigarette company who'd like to start doing lung cancer screenings. It's ludicrous. Now, another high-risk factor for cervical cancer is long-term oral use of birth control pills. Several years ago, the Lancet Medical Journal carried a study which found that long-term use of the pill increased the risk of developing cervical cancer by up to 4 times in women with a sexually transmitted disease. The study found that HPV-positive women who used the pill for more than 10 years were up to 400% more likely to develop cervical cancer over HPV-positive women not using the pill. Another study done in the UK at Oxford found that the longer a woman took the pill, the greater her risk of developing cervical cancer. A 10% increased risk if a woman took the pill for 5 years or less, a 60% increase for 5 to 9 years use, and a 100% greater risk, in other words, double the risk on a non-pill using woman, if a woman has taken it for 10 years or more. Now, listen to these incredible words by Dr. Gavin Jarvis, who is with Oxford's Department of Pharmacology. He wrote, "The pill is a cocktail of steroids which causes drug-induced infertility, but will potentially influence the behavior of every cell in a woman's body. Unlike other drugs, which are typically used to treat disease, the pill is used to cause disease, that is, infertility, in normal, healthy women. I would not be surprised to discover that such powerful and indiscriminate drugs used for very long periods of time with the explicit objective of causing complete infertility in otherwise healthy women may have longer-term effects such as an increased risk of cancer or a reduction in subsequent fertility." So why are our taxpayer dollars going to fund colposcopy equipment to detect a cancer that is nearly completely preventable by way of some much-needed behavior modification? We need to hold our elected officials accountable on this. We need to contact them and tell them to refuse to give taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood. We will have the names and contact information of the Bloomington City Council members available on the Womb Radio website so that you can either call them or send them an email advising them to withhold funding from Planned Parenthood. By the way, and this is the first time that I personally have ever seen this, the committee has suggested that Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky receive the full amount of their request, $11,134. Normally, Planned Parenthood will only receive a portion of the monies that they are requesting, never the full amount. But not this year. They are slated to receive the full amount by a vote from the City Council at their next meeting on Wednesday, June 17th. And this is the largest amount of taxpayer dollars that they will have ever received. PP is making record profits and receiving record dollar amounts of government funding. So please be sure to go to wombradio.com and get the names and contact information for getting in touch with the Bloomington City Council members, asking them to reject the Jack Hopkins funding to Planned Parenthood. And you can use some of the talking points that I've been mentioning here on today's program. And I want to give you some more ammunition on this issue as well, because you know what? Promiscuity is killing us both physically and spiritually. This next study that I want to tell you about came out earlier this year in the BMJ Sexual and Reproductive Health Journal. Basically, it said that the more sexual partners a person has in his or her life, the higher the chance of being diagnosed with cancer. Compared to women who reported one partner or none, those who reported 10 or more were 91% more likely to have been diagnosed with cancer. Similarly, men with 10 or more partners were 64% more likely to have been diagnosed with cancer compared to men with one partner or none, the study found. And I love what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris said. She's the founder of the Ruth Institute, which is a group that defends the family, marriage, and purity. She remarked, "Goodness, a big expensive study to tell us that having multiple sexual partners is unhealthy? Who knew?" I'll tell you who knew. Your grandma, the church, and what used to be called common sense. Dr. Morris also went on to provide some sound advice that should be advocated by all public health officials. She said, tell people to get married, stay married, and only to be intimate with the person you are married to. That would solve a lot of problems, including health problems. And oh, how true that is. She said it well. And again, one of the co-authors of the study brought up the link between HPV, multiple partners, and cervical cancer. So bottom line, Planned Parenthood encourages and even pushes girls to engage in sexual activity at earlier and earlier ages. They are all for multiple partners. They push the birth control pill. Each one of these practices greatly increases a woman's risk for contracting the human papillomavirus, and this virus is responsible for up to 99% of all cervical cancer cases. So, if you would eliminate these risky behaviors, you basically would eliminate cervical cancer and sexually transmitted diseases, which, if you will recall, Planned Parenthood was bemoaning about in their written request for local government funding that I just read to you. Planned Parenthood knows the STI rate is out of control both here in our county, in our state, and throughout our country. And once again, and this is important information to know as well, sexually transmitted diseases like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis increase the risk of developing cervical cancer. And we could do a whole other show just on STDs and STIs. Suffice it to say, the latest data from the Indiana State Department of Health showed more cases of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia in 2018 than ever before. For the last 5 years, STDs have been surging, with a big growth in the 18 to 24-year-old range. And nationally, young women aged 15 to 24 accounted for nearly half of the reported cases of chlamydia in 2018. And this is entirely preventable by teaching sound sexual morality and encouraging behavior modification and virtue. We must encourage healthcare professionals, teachers, our pastors, all church leaders, our elected officials, and parents to begin to do this. Finally, let's also remember that the $11,134 taxpayer dollars that the Bloomington City Council will vote to give to Planned Parenthood is going to an abortion center. Though the money is not earmarked specifically for abortion, it is nonetheless going to fund abortion, at least indirectly. That's because money is fungible, which means that any cash that is collected for one purpose can easily be used for another. As national abortion numbers have declined, Planned Parenthood's own abortion numbers have increased. In this country, Planned Parenthood now ends an average of 947 unborn lives every day. That's 39 each hour and one every 90 seconds. Here in Bloomington, since the beginning of January, we've seen a significant increase in abortion numbers. We're averaging 21 unborn children killed there every Thursday. However, all of their other services are going down both locally and nationally. Foot traffic is way down. So abortions are way up, other services are way down, and taxpayer dollars have increased nationally by 9.4%. As I just mentioned, this year, the City Council will be awarding the Bloomington Planned Parenthood the largest sum of taxpayer dollars that I've ever seen. It's a huge increase, more than double from most other years. With their increase in abortions, this should alarm us. So please be sure to contact the City Council members and tell them to refuse to give money to Planned Parenthood. That information, again, will be available at wombradio.com. And before we move on from this topic of the Jack Hopkins Social Services funding, let's also talk about the local taxpayer funding of a group called All Options, which bills itself as a non-judgmental pregnancy resource center that supports all options, including abortion. It's located on South Walnut Street, and there really isn't a whole lot to this place. Actually, their two biggest things are they hand out lots of diapers and wipes, and they run the Hoosier Abortion Fund, which collects donations to help women have abortions. Every year, they amass around $30,000 to divvy out to women who call the Hoosier Abortion Fund line asking for help. All Options is a very strong supporter of abortion and anything and everything that seeks to tear down traditional marriage and family. If you look at their Facebook page, it's quite frightening, the ideologies they have. And they, too, want a share of the money pie from the Jack Hopkins Social Services Award. They asked for $12,000 so that they could purchase diapers and wipes, but the committee has recommended that they receive $4,000. But that's still $4,000 too much. Again, purchasing diapers and wipes for children is a very noble cause, but it's a front. All Options is a heavy abortion-supporting organization that raises money to give to women to help them kill their unborn children. Given that money is fungible, we cannot support taxpayer dollars going to them, no matter how good the cause might seem on the surface. So when you contact the City Council members about Planned Parenthood, you will also want to let them know that they should also not give money to All Options because of their involvement with and support of abortion. The Bloomington City Council will be discussing and voting on the committee's recommendations on Wednesday, June 17th, so be sure to contact them and to be praying for them. Normally, a group of us will show up for this meeting to voice our concerns with the funding of Planned Parenthood and All Options, but we're probably not going to be able to do that this year because of the COVID-19 restrictions. So the least we can do is to contact them and voice our objections. The more people that do this, the more impactful it is. Again, go to wombradio.com for how to do this. Okay, so taking money from taxpayer dollars isn't the only thing that Planned Parenthood has been busy doing lately. At the end of May, we found out that the largest abortion chain in the U.S. had received over $80 million from the Paycheck Protection Program. Now, this was a program created to help small businesses across the country stay afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic and to be able to pay their employees. According to the U.S. Small Business Administration, affiliates of larger organizations with more than 500 employees employees were not eligible to apply for these emergency loans. Planned Parenthood has about 16,000 employees nationwide, making them ineligible for a PPP loan. But 37 of their affiliates applied for and received a total of $80 million in loans that were meant for small businesses. Now, fortunately, the federal government learned of this and has apparently asked that the money be returned. The largest single government loan was for $7.5 million to the Planned Parenthood of Orange and San Bernardino counties in California. Senator Marco Rubio from Florida expressed his outrage over Planned Parenthood's violation. He said, "There is no ambiguity in the legislation that passed or public record around its passage that organizations such as Planned Parenthood, whose parent organization has close to $500 million in assets, is not eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program. Those funds must be returned immediately. Furthermore, the SBA should open an investigation into how these loans were made in clear violation of the applicable affiliation rules, and if Planned Parenthood, the banks, or staff at the SBA knowingly violated the law, all appropriate legal options should be pursued." You just can't help but get the feeling that Planned Parenthood likes money. As an organization, they have over $1 billion in net assets, and yet they continue to receive government funding, and they get in line for any other possible handouts. Let's keep praying and offering up penances for the conversion of all who work at Planned Parenthood, and for that day when this abortion Goliath will fall. Okay, before we run out of time today, I did want to mention the increased persecution and the intensified spiritual battle that we're witnessing there at 421 South College Avenue ever since the coronavirus hit. The evil has become even more palpable there. With few exceptions, people are very angry, and to a degree you can understand that. Most of our lives have been interrupted in major ways, and we've all been cooped up. Many are so frightened and have little hope for the world. So in some ways, we expect some angrier responses, but it's really so much more than this. There's a particularly evil thread woven into all that is going on there right now. We're seeing a record number of Christians and Catholics coming in for abortions, women in super expensive vehicles and who look well-to-do, mothers bringing in their daughters. We see so many crosses, crucifixes, and even rosaries. We've had several conversations with those who don't hesitate to let you know that they consider themselves as Christians. These are women and families who could be sitting in the pew of a church on Sundays, and they see nothing wrong with coming in to have their unborn children killed. There's no appearance of any guilt or sense of wrongdoing in their minds. It's all quite heartbreaking and very disturbing. We're also drowning in the filth of impurity, unchastity, and immodesty. We've also been the recipients of some vandalism. Normally, we park our cars right in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood at the metered parking spots. That way, we have easy access to our material and for any needed drinks of water, especially when it's hot out there. Well, there's been a concerted effort lately by a group of abortion supporters who have targeted our vehicles, throwing eggs at them as they whiz past on College Avenue. If you know anything about egging, you know it can damage the paint and even leave scratches on the surface. Damage has already been done to several vehicles. It's difficult to get license plate numbers, but we're working on that to get that information to the police. And to be honest, we're concerned that these attacks will escalate. Again, there's just deep-seated anger out there. We're also witnessing many people openly saluting Satan. Again, it's frightening. And we wonder if they truly know what they are saying and doing. You may have heard about the recent comedy documentary that portrays Satanism as a complete normal religion and its followers as patriotic upright citizens. It was live streamed into homes on June 5th and was followed by a live interview with the Satanic Temple spokesman. This film is just a part of the continued effort to normalize that which is wildly offensive and blasphemous. The ease with which this salutation to the arch enemy of souls falls from the lips of so many speaks volumes about the diabolical strain that we are under. The only way to counter it is by repeatedly praying Hail Mary. It's a reminder that a woman and her divine offspring crush the head of Satan. So we ask you to please keep all of these souls in your prayers. We pray that each one of them will be freed from the influence of the diabolical and to be freed of the great interior pain they are enduring. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.